Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 2nd, second day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, all-around good guy and city manager for Eureka, Greg Sparks.
Thank you, Brian.
See
great to
happens?
Be here.
Every year you get a new little moniker attached to you.
Yeah, for the first few months it was new city manager.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I've come up in
the
world.
The interloper is not loping anymore. Oh, boy. This afternoon we'll talk a little bit about last year. We'll talk a little bit about the upcoming year, starting with next week in the city council meeting. We've also got Greg's tree replacement program that started last week at Carson Park. So we'll talk about that also when we come back.
Okay, Brian.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, but before we do, our quote this afternoon, Woodrow Wilson is our source. Quote, "I not only use all the brains I have, but all the brains I can borrow."
That sounds like a good quote.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So what does the second half of the fiscal year look like for the city?
You know, we certainly, from the 2014-15 budget, you know, council approved back on July 1st, it was a very tight budget. You know, sales taxes had rebounded from, the worst years, but it's not like to the point where you're looking at that they've grown in a sense. I mean, they kind of got back to what had been a normal year.
Rebounded is a loose term.
Yeah.
Okay.
The new normal.
Yeah.
And, it's better than being down. And so, you know, we had to make a number of budget reductions. I know coming up in the second meeting in January, our finance department is working on having that mid-year budget report to council. We're expecting that to kind of stay status quo, not to really be any better, not to be any worse. I mean, I think we were fairly conservative in our budget practices this last summer. You know, the thing where we've seen, sales tax revenue is obviously the thing that's the driver in our general fund budget. And, you know, we're pretty dependent upon how well the new car sales do. And that's been kind of a strong piece of retail sales really for the last probably four quarters or so, and the big boxes. But even some of the big boxes are not doing as well as they had a couple years ago. And, you know, some of that's probably internet sales, maybe other competition, but probably internet sales is maybe as much as anything that dips into some of that.
Well, and it's unfortunate. I still am frustrated that internet sales aren't taxable across the board, just a flat.
There needs to be a national solution to internet sales.
You know, and I understand, you know, initially burgeoning new, okay, you give them a little grace period. Okay, that one's come and gone a long time ago. So it's unfortunate for this purpose because you don't know how much is being sold here.
That's right.
And there's no way, short of holding up all the UPS trucks every day for a quarter, you'd ever be able to find out, or the FedEx or DHL and all the other guys too. So it's kind of puts the cities and jurisdictions into a tough sledding position, because before, catalog sales were taxed, and they were kind of, you had a better idea. But with internet, you have no idea. We could be spending twice as much, and the city or jurisdiction could be getting 10% less.
That's right. That's right. That could definitely be the case. And, you know, some of that with Amazon has been solved, but that's just one piece. Yeah. I mean, it was a big one, but that's just one. So
is the League of Cities talking about doing something?
I think California League of Cities and other states And boy, for whatever, that has been a tough policy issue with state legislators.
This seems to be the golden ox, so golden egg.
Golden ox. Golden something.
Golden sacred ox, yes.
And certainly in California, with we are this high dependence on sales tax. Property taxes are not the big part of our general fund budget, as would be the case in most California communities. We get about $2 million a year in property tax. You know, just the half-cent sales tax that was renewed, that's over $4 million, so that's twice as much as what our property taxes bring in. And I think what a lot of residents don't always necessarily recognize is that of that total property tax bill they pay, you know, that split, you know, between schools, county, city, the city portion, I think, is about 17%. So pretty small piece of that property tax pie.
So as you're looking at invigorating the city economically, culturally, all these various things, do you have a gap? Do you know what the gap is? For Eureka to be the way that Greg wants it,
oh boy,
we would need to generate X number of additional dollars in sales tax, or translated into retail sales, or X number of people earning, and the kickback off of that would be projected as in sales tax and some of the other various taxes that are available. Do you have that? Is there a target?
Yeah, I haven't quite thought of it in those terms, Brian, in terms of a target on what, you know, how much more money do we need to be, in a sense, viable in a number of areas. But certainly the key to that, I think, is, as you're already alluding to, it's job creation. It's increasing the tax base. Even though we're only a small part of that tax base, that's an important part of the overall job creation. You get more money into the economy, more higher level of discretionary income that can be spent. That can all have a positive impact on this local economy. And that's going to have to come from a number of areas. I mean, there's more that can be done with growing the tourism industry. I think there's more that can be done with growing the medical facilities and community within the kind of the greater Eureka area. Small business, both from retail. And, you know, I think there's still more. There's potential for some manufacturing increases. And there's, you know, a number of people we've had some discussions with about manufacturing. So it's there is still manufacturing in the United States.
Done by Americans. KINS News and Information Times 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Greg, so the economy locally is kind of in stasis. Not going down, not going up, just kind of chunking along. Is that a fair?
That seems, you know, from my limited perspective on it of reading, you know, sales tax reports for the last couple of years. And yeah.
What are you hearing about housing value? Because that's another key component. Now, obviously, property tax revenues aren't going to be a big deal. But when we were down in the Bay Area last week, they were making a big whoop-de-whoop-de-whoopee because the median price in San Francisco for a house went back up over $1 million, and it had fallen down to $750,000. Mm-hmm. And that was a sign for San Francisco of their viability. Are you hearing anything with the housing value here?
Kind of the only reason I really have is just because as I've been out looking at houses and getting some of those market
leaving the neighborhood, huh?
getting the market report. But I know from January through November, boy, this is like practically hot off the press. You know, the housing costs in here in Eureka, you know, they went steadily down from 2008 through 2011. 12 and 13, they started coming back up, and the trend in 2014 was continuing an uptrend. And I don't recall just what that percentage was. It was a modest percentage. You know, I don't think it's going to be a quick rebound like you see maybe in the Bay Area or some other parts of the country that had dipped so low. But to me, I mean, that's been the positive trend, is that as low as things dipped in 11, that we've had basically now 3 years of increased prices. But, you know, for the most part, you know, the homes that are really selling well are, you know, tend to be more in the, you know, 250 to 300,000 range. I mean, that's kind of the median.
That's the sweet spot.
That is. That's the sweet spot in the market. And
so Eureka's in a interesting little conundrum, I would guess, speculate, with real estate, because we've had so many of the grow houses and so many of the homes in Eureka are not owner-occupied, where historically they were.
Right.
So as these things are changing, does your sense for the housing in Eureka look a little bit more positive 5 years out after some of these homes start to be purchased and come up for sale, be renovated and owner-occupied? Or do you see just kind of the slow grow inside the city limits, because we can't use Myrtletown and we can't use Cutton and we can't use Humboldt Hill, so this is still city proper?
Yeah, I'll try to maybe answer that in a couple ways. You do point, it would be great if we had more vacant land to develop for new housing, and 'cause what we tend to see is, you know, little pockets of, you know, kind of 3-4 homes that get developed off of an area over, kind of over near our area on the east side, and not that ability to, you know, to see a larger type development and create a little more, you know, in a sense, kind of competition in the market with some new housing. I haven't seen if the percentage of owner-occupied, if that's trending any different the last couple of years. You know, we're about, I think it's 40% rental. You know, that's a high percentage. And certainly it'd be more favorable to, from a overall community standpoint, to see that percentage of owner-occupied increase. It seems like typically those neighborhoods that do well or do better are ones that have that higher owner-occupied.
Yeah, I think Chief Mills was in and had said anything over 25% starts to red flag for law enforcement, just because things are, the dynamic is different.
Mm-hmm. And on the other end, I've seen communities that have a high percentage of rental housing, but yet still have very strong neighborhoods, because it tends to be more maybe middle to upper end multifamily, and that's not so much our case here. It's a lot of older single family homes that are being rented out, or ones that have been split up.
The
Victorians that have been cut up, and so when you do see those that turn over and get re-restored, that seems to create a positive benefit in those neighborhoods.
As you look at the waterfront at the start of this year, and well, the Eureka portion of the waterfront, do you see positive? Do you see negative? What kind of just general impression? And we'll leave the homeless camps out.
Yeah.
I wasn't
even
thinking about that. You know, we can get into that one in a little while. But in the areas that that normally are developed, do you see potential or do you see frustration?
I see more potential than frustration. You know, from a staff standpoint, we've had several discussions with, you know, some prospective hotel type developments, and you look at our waterfront area, and it's really ripe for a good hotel development down that waterfront with some retail space to go with it. So I believe we're going to continue to have some additional discussions as city owns property. There's other private property landholders down and along the waterfront, and you know, I'm certainly hopeful that something is going to come together in 2015.
The fact that the Best Western Holiday Inn Express, the one at Wabash and Broadway,
Holiday Inn
is
Express,
now open.
Yeah,
does that attract additional interest?
I think certainly some of the early reports I heard it was doing very well, and you think if you've got a new hotel and it's doing well, that does attract more interest.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, the city manager of Eureka. Greg, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, I guess it's tough. We had one of the trees at Carson Park went down in the windstorm last week. Okay. Mm-hmm. When most folks think of park maintenance, it's the gutters, it's trimming the roadies, it's that kind of stuff, not larger stuff. Is there enough budget to look at doing larger stuff, preventative, rather than waiting for the sidewalk to crack, so then we have to cut that one little section? You know, okay, if the tree's been there for too long or it's too big, fine. Let's harvest.
Yeah.
Put in a small one.
Certainly always try to assess those. And I know, the trees over by Sequoia Park that end up dropping a lot on the sidewalk over there, that we've gone in and done some significant trimming there to try to control that. And, you know, it's always a matter of trying to match up resources, but making sure you have enough to take care of things that obviously can pose any kind of a danger or threat. That one that went down in Carson Park, I mean, that really surprised me. It didn't seem like it was that. I mean, I wasn't here that week, but it didn't sound like it was. You know, you expect maybe in a 100-mile-an-hour wind, but not in a, you know, 40, 50-mile-an-hour wind to have a tree like that go down.
And, you know, who knows the life expectancy of those things either, unless you have an arborist on staff.
Right, and we do not have an arborist.
Oh, I missed that one.
I've actually worked a few places where we have, which is helpful. But, you know, for the most part, we've got a number of other boulevard trees that planted maybe back in the, I don't know, 70s, that in some cases weren't the right kind of tree, type of trees that shed too much or don't have the type of long life or size-wise. And I've seen some trees that are kind of starting to, like I say, pushing out on the concrete and the gutters. So we just talked about this in our management team meeting this week with Park and Rec Director. And we are going to be going through and assessing more of those and seeing how we can do some more of a scheduled replacement plan on some of these trees.
See, I could be one of your department heads.
You could.
Well, probably stir the meeting up, though, huh?
We should probably just invite you to a meeting sometime.
Yeah.
Just to
see how long we can keep that one going, huh? Public Works is part and parcel to what we were talking about. Yeah. There are a number of roads that, or pavement, I guess, on streets that really need some serious attention. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the neighborhoods are calling your attention to it. How do you put those into the program where you've got neighborhood that is probably traveled infrequently versus the main drags that also have their wear and tear, but more people are using them? How do you develop that equation, or do you just give it off to your public works director?
Well, we actually do have a way we assess streets, and you're absolutely right. There are some predominantly residential roads that absolutely need, you know, total reconstruction right now, and may have needed it for some time, and the funds are just not available. We do tend to, as much as you can, you have to have the resources to deal with those high volume streets. And I think for the most part, I think city's kept up on the majority of those pretty well. We are going to have a study session coming up with city council probably within about the next month. We've kind of put it off and somewhat waiting until after the election. But we really need to figure out how to get some additional resources into street reconstruction. You know, one of the things that city council approved at the last meeting was a reorganization of the Public Works Department. And actually, we created about $250,000 a year in annual savings. But of course, that savings was coming from a number of areas. It was coming in the water fund. It's coming in the wastewater fund. Some in the general fund.
Not the asphalt fund, huh?
I wish I had that full 250 right out of the general fund that I could plug right back into street maintenance, because that's where I see the need. But the thing I'm happy about from the two reorganizations that we've accomplished in the last couple of months, we did a reorganization, community development, economic development, and now with Public Works, building inspection. Between the two of those, it's resulted in savings of around $300,000 a year. And it really accomplished that by eliminating a couple management positions. We eliminated the assistant city manager position and the public works director position. Bruce Young, Bruce is going to be retiring this spring. And our building, we're going to make that a joint public works director, building official, chief building official. Brian Gerving will be taking over that position. So we've really eliminated two high-paid director positions, and we haven't had to then go down and cut street maintenance workers and police officers and those kind of positions.
So when Brian wants to cut into the street for a development, he can have a fight with himself in the closet?
Something like
yeah.
that. Right.
Is that consolidation something that a lot of communities have done either structurally or done because of financial constraints?
You know, financial constraints always drive you to look at these kinds of things. You know, when money is flush, it's pretty easy to just keep kind of doing what you've been doing. But I think City of Eureka certainly got creative several years ago in some changes. Previous city manager Bill Panos put in some changes. And now I've done some as well, because you keep trying to get the organization leaner so that we've got the resources to really deal with the services that we're providing the public. At the end of the day, that's what we're trying to accomplish. It's not a matter of let's see how many management positions we can have on staff.
It's tough to do zero-based budgeting, isn't it?
Yeah, it always is. And resources for cities, I don't know when the good days ever were in some cities. I mean, I've worked in cities that have had a better resource base, maybe a more balanced resource base. We're so dependent upon sales tax that when you get a recession and your sales tax revenues get driven down, it's not the same as property taxes, which maybe have a little more lag time to them. So, and then what we've seen, with increased pension costs from particularly in public safety and other public employee pensions, increase in health insurance costs, we're really finding our personnel costs take up more of the budget, say, than what it did 10 years ago.
Retirement and the pension, well, I guess they kind of go hand in hand, but the benefits associated with that. You've been in a couple of other cities. Is it a California thing?
No.
Or is it a national thing?
It's a national thing. Not maybe every single state, but most states are struggling to a degree with those increased pension costs, because so many public employee pension systems are set up as defined benefit plans. So when the stock market went down and you've got a defined benefit, the money's got to come from somewhere to keep paying that benefit. It usually means then the employer share went up. Some states, it may have been a little more balance between employer and employee share. At least here in California a couple years ago, with some of the changes that were made, the reform, at least for new employees coming into the system, it's a much more balanced approach. But on the other end, you've got this long-term legacy employees with high pension costs that we're addressing.
If the stock market goes way up, does that mean that your percentage can be reduced?
It can. I think the problem, what both in California and other states, is that the unfunded pension liability got so low. When you start getting down below 80% being funded, 60% of your liability being funded, it takes a long time to recover that. So, first you need to see the stabilization and then see it hopefully start dropping.
Not the stock market, not the budget.
Yeah.
The percentage match.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:44. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. So, Greg, anything exciting got your attention here for the next little bit?
Well, coming up on the council meeting Tuesday night, we've got a really looking for some direction from council on the medical cannabis. Back in 2010. Council, city staff went through a very extensive process in terms of developing an ordinance to allow medical cannabis facilities, dispensaries, and created a request for qualifications process because the council is looking to limit it to potentially four within the city limits. For whatever reason, of those that were invited to apply, go through a conditional use permit process, none of that happened back at that time, in early 2011. And so as a result of that, the city council approved a moratorium. Basically, okay, nobody's too interested. We just won't allow any then for a period of time. Well, that moratorium expired in November 2013. And since then, we've had a couple of inquiries. And one of the people who made an inquiry came to the council meeting 1st of December and said, I'm very interested in opening a dispensary. I understand the only way I can do that is if the council invites me to apply. So we're really following up to that individual who came before council. And we've got a couple of key questions for the council. Are you satisfied with the current medical cannabis ordinance? Do you want any changes to it? And then secondly, if we proceed along the way we had 4 years ago, you want to open this back up to some type of request for qualifications so they aren't just dealing with this one person who's coming through the door and see if there's any others that are interested. So at this point, I don't foresee the council making any significant changes to the ordinance unless there's some direction they want to give city staff to look into. But it's a means of kind of responding at least to the one individual who came who had an interest.
It'll be interesting to see where the zoning would allow that to happen. Just kind of leave it there. We'll follow you in the news.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet, Brian.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.